For you may be seated, take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to start a new series, and I'm excited about this series, and I need your attention. While you're turning, Romans chapter 12, I'm going to start a series called Living Peaceably. Living Peaceably. In other words, how to get along with everybody. So appropriate. Yeah. Just remember, peace is a result of war. I didn't say how to live tranquility. Amen, Brother Larry? Yeah, I got his attention. He knew I had a hook in that one. Peace is a result of war. Amen? But you'll see. By the way, everything I said today was planned. It was not in anger. It is in an effort. And by the way, I didn't fight it for us. I'm fighting it for everybody else in this area. I am fighting it for building number two, just so you know. They have us putting another, after they get these six ponds done, then after we build the next building, they have one that's 130 or 140 feet long that wraps around the back corner of the property to attach to the other one. For what reason? I do not know. All right. Romans chapter 12. We're going to be nice. The funniest part is, tonight we're going to start how to live peaceably with those with whom you disagree. And you'll see it's all in here. Verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. I didn't cuss. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Look at verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let's pray. Father, I sure do need you tonight. Lord, as we launch into a new Bible study series, Lord, these things could change our lives here at church, at work, at home, in a community, everywhere we go. Every part of our life and every facet of our life could be changed if we would pay attention and apply the Word of God. Now, please help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Churches and society as a whole is more complex than it was even 50 years ago. I need your attention. These next 3 or 4 minutes hinges everything for the truth. People travel farther every day these days than they used to travel in a week 50 years ago. 50 years ago, if you lived in this area and you drove to Hagerstown, it might be once every 2 or 3 weeks, and that was a long trip. Now, people drive to Frederick, Glen Burnie, Rockville, D.C., Baltimore, every day. Hagerstown's just a place to go get gas or shopping. 50 years ago, you'd have never traveled that far. We have cell phones that have reduced the world. There's a generation, his generation doesn't know what a long-distance phone call is. They don't. I was telling Brother Baxter over the weekend, we were talking about this. And I said, you don't understand what a penny loafer was for. I said, a penny loafer was there because you could put a nickel or a dime in the shoe, and that gave you the money to make a phone call. And that's exactly what they were for. And at one time, long enough ago, a penny would have made a phone call. I said, that's what the penny loafer was for. He said, you're kidding me. I said, no. Well, the kid's only 23 years old. I got two kids older than he is. We have cell phones. We have social media. The world is very small in contrast to what it was just 50 years ago. 50 years ago, we landed on the moon for the first time. Now, space travel is just something that's common. Add to that something that we failed to think about. Population is 70% more than it was 50 years ago. In 1969, the population of America was 202 million people. Now, it's over 340 million people. Now, the average person now interacts with more people daily than you used to interact with in over a week. You interact with more people on a daily basis than people 50 years ago used to see in a week. Life is much more complex. This has made church in the home more intricate than in previous generations. It really has. I'm going to say something here that may shock you. Church used to be a place where everyone met, talked, and caught up with each other. Now, it's already been on social media, Twitter. You've talked to each other by phone. And you now know everything before you see each other. And you know things about people in every other church in the country. Everybody doing okay? By the time we got out of church Sunday morning, America knew my son was coming to our church. My phone was blowing up during the invitation with calls from around the country. Hey, we heard. Hey, we heard. Hey, we heard. They didn't hear it from me. Everybody doing okay? We didn't used to be as familiar with each other as we are today. We could be on our best a couple hours a week at church. And nobody knew every time you burped or every time you flipped a pancake at home. Now, every thought that we have is shared, tweeted, hashtagged, liked, or posted. I think I covered most everything on that. This constant interaction of people and the volume of interaction of the volume of people often causes a change of leadership to go back and forth. And which means there's opportunity for great disagreement. Let me show you what I mean. Someday, as our church grows, somebody's going to teach your kid in Sunday school while you're teaching somebody else's kid in Sunday school. Now we have an opportunity for disagreement. Because they're not going to teach your kid the way you teach their kid. And vice versa. Everybody doing okay? Did you know it's hard for people to change churches these days? Can I tell you why? Social media. Used to be, if you had to leave a church for some reason, you went across town, nobody went to the other side of town anyway, so you could change churches. Nobody knew who you were. Nobody cared about it. Nobody knew what the problem was. Now everybody knows about it all over the country. Because everybody won't keep their stinking mouth and opinions of themselves on social media. Everybody doing okay? The more chances of disagreement means the more irritability, the more strife, and the more contention we have in our homes, we have in our churches, we have in our workplace, and we have in our culture. We must constantly be trying to minimize friction. I feel like all I do is go around with an oil can trying to lubricate everything to keep everybody from getting hot. Kind of like the Tin Man. You know. You see, we must. This is true at home. It's true at work. Look how much contention goes on in the average workplace. Did you know when 50 years ago, if you worked with somebody, you got along because you had to work with them anyway. You just worked it out. Now, in between breaks and in time you should be working, everybody's on their phones and on their computers telling everybody how trashy this person is, and everybody else in the company knows there's problem between everybody. Romans chapter 12, verse number 18, I want you to notice something. This is where the rubber meets the road. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, God says, live peaceably with all men. God does not want us to live at war, at strife, with contention, or in arguments. He said, and he told us, live peaceably. Now here's where you Pharisees are going to step up and say, yeah, preacher, but it says as much as is possible. Right. But you're not the determining factor of what's possible, God is. Quit playing God. Notice what he says. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you. He put the blame right back on you and me. You don't get to decide when it is or is not possible. By the way, I throwed a little fit today with the fella at Shelley's office. But I also said I'm sorry if I were too aggressive today. I apologized, I think, 3 times in that conversation. He said, oh, Reverend, you're not testy. Don't worry. And a couple times he agreed with me as much as he was allowed to politically. Your job is to act and react rightly by principle and not try to let your feelings and emotions control the situation. I was not emotionally involved in this. I've waited months to make this phone call. I waited till I knew I was in control of me. Waited till the Holy Spirit had control of me. Now listen to this very carefully. You don't have the right to decide when it's possible and when it's not. That's God's job. Your job is to live right so that God can use that to bring peace. I'm going to use an illustration. Miss Sherry, remember when you told me about your brother needing to get saved? And she said, he's probably going to cuss you and throw you out. I said, it's okay. I could try to live peaceably with somebody who may not be peaceable with me. She and Larry. Larry was out cutting shrubbery or something or other. I don't remember what he'd cutting that day. He said, preacher, you sure you're going to go down there? He might throw you out. I said, he's older than me. I can run faster scared than he can mad. And he chuckled and said, but I'm serious. I said, so am I. I had an obligation to live right in front of him. If he chose not to be peaceable, I wasn't the one who chose it. Everybody understand that? It takes two to argue. It takes two to fight. It takes two to have strife. I just decided I wouldn't have strife. I wouldn't have war. If he cussed me, I'd have handed him a tract and say, have a good day. I'll pray for you. I don't worry about it. I'll try to live peaceably as much as I can with people who are not peaceable. Guess what happens? A lot of times they end up being peaceable. Now, this is going to take tonight and next week, because there ain't no way we're getting through all that. But I want to give you about 8 or 9 things about how to live peaceably with those with whom you disagree. Folks, disagreeing does not mean disloyal. Did you know I don't have to agree with Greg Dyker about everything? Matter of fact, we probably don't agree with a lot of things. There are certain foods he'd like that I wouldn't like, and certain foods I like he wouldn't like. Guess what? Doesn't matter. Just because we disagree with something doesn't mean we hate each other. Disagreement isn't to the level you think it is. Now, let me help you. Everybody look at me. I love you. Point number one. You don't need to express your disappointments or displeasure all of the time. When somebody that you don't agree with has said something that disappoints you or causes displeasure, guess what? You don't have to open your fat trap and let everybody know. That was the nicest way I know how to say that. So much of life does not need to be said. If they would get rid of about 95% of the news in America today, our country would be in better shape than it is today. It's the point where I cannot watch news anymore. You have people being accused of things, and it's splattered all over the news as though they're perverts, they're this, they're that, and there's never even been a trial take place yet. And so all you hear is 5 minutes about some guy who's been a pedophile, who did this, who did that, who did this, who did that, and there's no proof of it yet. He's been accused of it. Then you're going to go to these people that were killed and these people that were shot and this and that. You wonder why there are so many people getting shot. It's not the guns, it's the people. I could bring all my guns here loaded, set them up here, and guess what? Nobody would be hurt. Nobody's hurt till some idiot grabs one and points it at somebody and pulls the trigger. Now, listen to me very carefully here. If something was said or done to disappoint you, it's done. You can't change it. If you can't change it, guess what? Don't comment about it. I better be careful what I was thinking right there. You can't undo an already done action. Brother Dorsey, well, I'm going to pick on him tonight. You can't undo all the demerits you had the last 3 years of college. Don't you wish you could, huh? I know one semester you wished you could have. Now guess what? He can't change it. Why express displeasure in it? Watch this. You can keep it from happening again. Okay, so somebody had a bad time. Why do we want to get up and tell everybody about somebody's bad time? Haven't you had one? The fact that you're running your mouth about somebody else's is proving you're going through a bad time. Because you're creating a bad time for somebody else and you become evil. When something is already done, stating your displeasure in it, your disappointment in it, isn't going to fix it. If your child got a bad grade on the report card, you don't beat them over the head for the next 9 weeks about it till they have their next report card. It's over. You can't undo it. You should have been, by the way, as a parent, you should have been barking about it the first bad paper that came home. You want to wait till it's too late to do something. I know something about that. I've been a Christian school principal for 20 years. I've administrated schools and college. Trust me. The problem is the first paper that comes home with a bad grade, not the grade card that comes home with a bad grade. Everybody doing okay? I love you. There's no need for us to explain our feelings about things that cannot be changed. Parents, at some point in time, you got to let your kids get the grades they're going to get. I think you ought to push them a little bit. But to sit there and beat them to death and ride them hard over it, guess what? Let them pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Let them fall. Let them fail if they need to. That's their problem. That's character. You can't live your life through them. You can guide them, but that's it. So you don't need to express your disappointment or your displeasure as much as we do. Well, I don't like that. Okay, you just expressed your displeasure. Didn't change what was said. Everybody doing okay? Number two is related to point number one, but it's a little sharper and a little deeper. Don't give your opinion if it's not asked for or if it's not in your area of authority. Ouch. Did you know there is no law and there's no commandment that says you have to express your opinion about everything that comes through your head? We are so sinful and so full of pride, we think we're so right all the time that whatever we speak is ex cathedra in the place of God. We think our opinion is the right one all the time. How many of you have ever changed your opinion about something before? Raise your hand. Guess what? You're not God. Every woman, both of your hands should have gone up and your feet. And that was just today. About the same thing that you wore to church tonight. There is no law that says just because you have an opinion that you have to express it. I think I could really help you here. If it's not in your area of authority, don't express an opinion. I'm going to use an illustration. I'm going to use Mrs. Barnes. Don't worry, everything's fine. Did you know I don't run her office? Now, I load her down with work, but I don't go in there and find out how she's got things filed and say, I don't like how you do that. I don't care. I really don't. Long as she can find it, that's all that matters. Well, I wouldn't do it that way. You're not doing it. She is. Shut up. That simple. When I have to do it, I'll organize it my way. Now, the files in my office are organized my way. Files in her office are organized her way. And sometimes we joke about it. Guess what? She can find everything I need in both sets of files. Because sometimes I look like a man. Where is it? It's right there. Where? You see, that's her office. I let her decorate her way. A couple things she said, preacher. I said, is it what you want? Well, yeah. I said, then do it. That's your office. She's got the Funny Farm stuff in there now. That's fine. I don't want the Funny Farm. She can live in the Funny Farm. I'm not. All right? You say, doesn't that bother you? Not a bit. It's her office. Well, I just wouldn't. Okay, nobody asked you your opinion about what you would do. It's not your office. Everybody doing okay? And don't you criticize her Funny Farm. You might end up at the Funny Farm. Now, our sinful pride causes us to think that my way is the only way that's right. There are some things I'll say to her, this is what I want done and how I want it done. There's other things that I don't care, as long as we get her done. Sometimes she'll say, preacher, I got a bunch here. Can you help me decide which should be done in what order? Be glad to. I'll promise you, my order is different than her order. But she doesn't complain about my order. She wants it done in the order I want it done. Sometimes it's not being done in the order I want. Guess what? I shut up about it unless something really has to take priority. It doesn't matter what order I want it done in. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang on. It can work that way at home too. I don't put a lot of demands on my wife. Our rules are this. Inside hers, outside's mine, and the basement's mine. I got a huge man cave, amen? Deer processing, guns, workbench, you name it, got it all. I can get it as dirty as I want, and I don't care. If I want dirt on the floor, I leave dirt on the floor. If If I want to clean it up, I clean it up. If I want deer blood on the sink down there, there's deer blood on the sink down there. That's mine. She won't complain about it. Say why? She didn't go down there. That's mine. Now, wait a minute. But I'll ask her often, what does she want? If she needs help with something, I'll help her. And I don't complain. If I think she ought to clean on Wednesday and she doesn't clean till Thursday, guess what? If I want it cleaned on Wednesday and she hadn't done it, then pick up the broom and the mop and the dust rag yourself and do it and quit complaining about it. Just because it's not done when you think it should be done doesn't mean you stay home with the kids all day long, find out whether you get it done. If someone has an opinion contrary to ours, we don't need to argue and prove how right we are. Everybody doing okay? Brother Joe, if your opinion is different than my opinion, I'm not going to sit there and argue with you about how right I am and how wrong you are. And then you're going to puff your chest out and prove to me how right you are and how wrong I am. That doesn't solve anything. Listen to me. When I go soul winning and I meet somebody that's a Mormon or a Jehovah's false witness, yes. I don't argue with them. I hand them a gospel tract and say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the very only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Oh, no, I don't believe in that. Have a good day. Take that and read it. See you later. And I'll walk away. You say, you don't talk to them? No, matter of fact, I don't say God bless you. God says, don't bid them Godspeed. God can't bless them. They're antichrist. They deny the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Read the book of 1 John once. God says, don't bid them Godspeed. I just say, have a good day. Read that paper. See you later. I'm not going to stand there and argue because somebody down the street needs to hear the gospel and get saved. I'll go to somebody that wants to hear it, and I'm not going to stand there and argue with somebody that doesn't want to hear it. Did you know in all the years I argued with the Jehovah's false witnesses, I haven't had one saved? Did you know not one of the Mormons will ever get saved? If you stand there and argue and argue and argue and argue. Everybody doing okay? I give them the truth. If they disagree with the truth, guess what? They disagree with the truth. I'm not going to change the truth for them. It's a plane, folks. Don't worry. You're not going to change them even if you're right. I had a preacher friend of mine. He posted something on Facebook. God bless preachers and Facebook. Boy, he got some preachers in his state all riled up against him. And he said, man, I exposed them. I said, yeah. And I said, the more you expose them, the less time you're out soul winning. Why don't you take the time you're on Facebook and go out and knock on doors and get somebody saved and really twist their nose? He said, good point, preacher. I said, you're following right into the trap of the devil by entering into contention with them. Just build your church, and who gives a rip about what they think? He said, good point, preacher. Now, listen to this. The more shared duties, the more decisions shared, the more opportunity to have disagreement. Okay. Let's bring it down to where we live. If a husband and a wife go grocery shopping together, there will probably be war. Say why? Because he wants this and she wants that. Or he wants more than that. I don't do the grocery shopping with my wife. Every once in a while I will, and I don't say a thing. I just push the cart and follow her along like an obedient husband. Amen? But it's rare. I'm biting my tongue. I'm stepping on it. I'm chewing on it. You name it. I'm like, She doesn't shop like I would shop. I'm not going to stand there and look and look and look and look. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. You wait till that aisle's open. You just start running and start grabbing. Amen. I know where everything's at. Just grab it, throw it in there, and keep on rolling. I'm not going to sit there and look at it all. No, not her. By the way, thank God I've got her to do that. Saved a lot of money through the years doing that. Let her do the shopping. I don't. Love it. When we share, it's when we get in trouble. Well, what about that? No, we don't need that. But I want that. No, we don't need that. But I want it. We don't have the money for it. So I still want it. Y'all know how that goes. Mm-hmm. You see, have as few shared duties as possible. That's why putting two children together on the same duty doesn't work very well. Shared duties don't go well. Somebody's going to get a knot on their head. That's why at our house, inside's hers, outside's mine. No problem. She doesn't tell me how to mow the grass. Don't tell her how to vacuum the carpet. She doesn't tell me where to plant flowers. I don't tell her where to put pictures. She points where she wants it. I put it on the wall. Everybody doing okay? Well, I wouldn't have put it there. I don't care. I'm not going to express my opinion whether I like it there or not. It doesn't matter. The nail's in the wall. Who cares? I ain't going to fix the wall now. Put the picture on it. Go to work and watch how many people share duties, can't get along. As we hire staff people, they'll not share duties. They'll have separate areas to run. We'll bring Brother Josh in, and he'll work with me. Then maybe Brother Dorsey will come on board. Well, Brother Dorsey's duties and Brother Josh's duties aren't going to crisscross. There'll be a passing of the torch, done, and they'll stay out of each other's way. Now, we'll work together, but they're not going to share the same duties together. You say, why? Each of them got to pull their own load. You get two bulls in the same pen, they're going to fight. I plan on hiring the guys that have the oomph to fight. And sometimes it might get a little sharp between them. Guess what? I'll be strong enough to take care of it. Don't worry. But that's how you keep them apart. You keep them in separate areas, pulling their own load. You don't pull the same load. In the process, we are pulling the same load. Boy, that's good stuff. That's why you shouldn't have a board-run church. I thank God for our deacons and our trustees. But can I tell you something? They don't run this church. I'm supposed to run it. Everybody doing okay? You know what the job of the duty and the duty of the deacons are? Help serve the people. Help make sure the widows are cared for. Make sure people have food. Make sure people have their needs met. Letting me know somebody needs something so that I can maybe send one of the deacons to go help them. Everybody doing okay? We have trustees legally with our church because we have to have somebody legally able to sign for business and different things and checks and all that kind of stuff. I get that. But the board doesn't run the church. By the way, I have a meeting with them virtually every month, and they help me oversee the finances as far as approving it, and they see where everything goes. Recently, we bought this shed out here. I had been getting some prices. Talked to the board. They said, "Preacher, just go buy one." And I said, "Well," and one of the men said, "How about," he said, "where I work, I've given latitude, and they'll give me an allotment. I can spend up to that." He said, "Preacher, how much money do you need? Do you think this amount would do it?" I said, "I think that would do just about right." He said, "How about you just go get the best deal you can for that money, and let's just get over with this thing." So 3 or 4 days later, Brother Dorsey went out, and I went out, and we negotiated, got a bigger and better one than I thought I could get because I only had a certain amount of money, and that one was $500 more than we had been allotted. And I said, "My board only voted for this much." Well, I showed them pictures. One of the board men said, show them pictures of how easy the delivery will be. Showed them pictures. He said, "Okay, Reverend, you got it. Save $500 on that thing." Praise the Lord. So, anything with more than one head's a monster. Brother Hiles used to say a camel is a horse that the Southern Baptist Committee put together. A wise person will seek advice on how to do things best. But because they don't seek your advice doesn't make them a fool. Just because your advice isn't sought doesn't mean everybody hates you. Everybody doing okay? Boy, I gotta hurry. I'm gonna give you one more real fast. This is a short one. Number three, don't flex the power of your authority. So, number one, you don't need to express your disappointment or displeasure all the time. Number two, don't give your opinion if it's not asked for or if it's not in your area of authority. Number three, don't flex your power or your authority. There are times when lesser qualified people have the responsibility delegated to them. Everybody's worked for somebody that wasn't qualified to be in the position they were in. Guess what? Work for them. There are times unwanted opinions are given by people out of their area of authority. Don't bristle. Don't say, bless God, that's not your area. Shut up. Stay out of mine. Anybody doing okay? You'd be surprised how many people know how to pastor churches and not pastor the church. I mean, good people. Preacher, I think we ought to do this. And I say, I'm glad you think that. I will seriously think about it for about that long. I don't bristle at it. They honestly think they have a good idea. What they don't know is I've seen that before and it didn't work. Sometimes they do have a good idea. Just so you know. Remind them kindly if they're out of their realm of authority. That's not your realm. I'll take care of that. Brother Dorsey, I don't even remember what it was this summer. He came to me about something, and I said, Doc, how about you let me take care of that? Don't worry about it. He didn't even know he got corrected. Oh, okay, preacher. I didn't even tell him. Say, what was it? It wasn't his area, and he was going to get in way over his head. Way over his head. I just took the pressure away. I didn't sit down and thought, son, that's not your area. Next time, I didn't go through a two-hour dissertation of why he shouldn't have done that. He didn't need that. He doesn't even know what it was. I don't even remember what it was. You could thank them for their opinion. Nobody said you had to take it. Just because somebody gives you a handkerchief with a booger in it doesn't mean you need to open it up and look at it. Everybody doing all right? Some of you see somebody blow their nose in it and they hand you the handkerchief and then you complain about the fact that it's got a booger in it. Well, you're the one that watched them do it. Why'd you open it up and look at it? Say, preacher, that's gross. Yeah, but it got your attention. You know, you don't have to stand there and say, I'm the boss. Do it my way. I don't correct Mrs. Barnes that way. She's done things that I've said, I wouldn't have done it that way. But guess what? It didn't matter. And it really wasn't in my area. It was hers. There are times when we've gotten through it, she'll say, preacher, if we ever have to do this again, what should we do differently? And I might say, well, I probably wouldn't do this and I would do that. Oh. How come you didn't stop me before? You didn't ask me before. Doesn't matter. Everybody doing okay? Just because someone offers an unwanted opinion doesn't mean you have to think about it. Can I tell you something? Too many of you, when somebody gives you their opinion and it's not their area and it wasn't wanted, you sit there and think about it so much that you get upset about it. The fact that you're upset about it means you've been thinking about it, which means you're wasting energy on something you shouldn't have even paid attention to. If Mom gives me her opinion about something that's none of her business to give me her opinion about, guess what? I'm going to forget that Mom gave me her opinion. You say, why? Because I'm not going to think about it. It's not her area. It's that simple. It's not that I don't like Mom. Usually. But if it's not her area and it's just an opinion, okay, thank you, Mom. Say, by the time I turn around, it's gone. I am not going to think about it again. Seriously, I won't. Then she'll come back 2 weeks. Preacher, did you think about? Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? No, I didn't. We got it cared for. It's already fixed. Don't worry. You say, and by the way, that's never happened with Hmong. I'm just using her as an illustration. It was Marcia. No. You know, just because someone offers their opinion doesn't mean you have to sit there and think about it. Can I tell you what causes troubles in a home? Somebody gave their opinion and you sit there and stew about it. Now, can I tell you something? If your opinion's not asked for, do me a favor. Just don't give it. And if somebody says stop, learn what that means. Don't keep going. It's real easy. But I'm so right and I know it. Now you're flexing your authority and your power, and you're only causing it to get worse, not better. If you have to stand up and say, I'm the boss, I'm the leader, guess what? You're not. You might have the title, but you're not. Someone's unwanted opinion is not to be a challenge to your position or authority. Just because Brother Sam might give me his opinion about something that he disagrees with doesn't mean he's challenging my authority. Well, preacher, I think you ought to do this. Okay, I appreciate that, Sam. I don't take that as a challenge to my authority, whether it's his area or not. I might say, Sam, let me take that up with who's in charge of that. He's sharp enough to catch that. Everybody doing okay? I'll say, let me take that to so-and-so. They oversee that for me. That's their area. Oh, there's so much more I need to say. We barely got through a third of it. But we'll hit it again. Let's learn. Those three things could change your life. It could change how you lead at home. It could change the relationship with your children to parents and parents to children. It could change husbands and wives. It could change our relationships here at church, at work. Oh, my soul. Did you know it didn't say live peaceably with all Christian? It says all men. As rough as I was on that dude at Shelley's office today, you know, by the time I got done, he and I were cordial. And we were cordial the whole time. I just gave him a civics lesson. Somebody needed to be a little bit of a squeaky wheel at the bottom to let everybody know we're not happy. That's all I did. I didn't take it personal. I didn't give it to him personally. And I said several times, I know this is aggressive. This is not about you. I know I said that several times. You say, why? Because it wasn't personal. Had nothing to do with him. Had everything to do with the system that's broken. So he and I were at peace with one another. That's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We ought to have a revival in our homes. We ought to have a revival in our own personal life about how we get along with people.